Blog Talk Radio.
Living Out Loud is hosted by Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power, an in-depth study of professional women in a relationship. She is an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. Dr. Birnbaum has been featured on Oprah 2020 and some of the biggest TV radio venues in the world.
Brian,
now, without further ado, here's your host of Living Out Loud, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Hi. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be on the show. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing fantastic. Really excited about our guest that we're going to have today. And I guess before we get going, there's a lot out there. We were just talking off the air about...
Yes, there's a lot going on.
Some of the positives and negatives about dating your best friend. Is it, you think it's worthwhile to do? Should a person do it? Like, what are your thoughts?
The thoughts are that dating your best friend often is the right way to go, because what happens is that you have a relationship that you feel you may want it to go further, and the other person may feel the same way, but there's a fear of losing that friendship. In the long run, the risk of losing that friendship is not as important as possibly gaining a relationship with someone that you can have longevity with in your life, in a way where you have a partnership and happiness and a family and, experiences throughout your life. So absolutely take that risk and go ahead, because often those are the best relationships. You know each other. You know if you like each other by this time. And, you know, sometimes romance can get in the way of that. You have a feeling of the attraction, and that overtakes the practical areas and the practical realm of the relationship. What is your history like? What do you want in your future? All that's already taken care of. So you already are starting ahead of the game. So it absolutely is a very good idea. We were talking about some other things.
Well, I want to ask you this real quick on the same topic. What happens if you get into an argument? And normally you go to your best friend, who is a woman or a man, and you're in a relationship with them. But actually, you know what? I want to bring your attention, Frieda, that our guest, Ms. Hernandez, is here. Would you like me to introduce
Perfect.
Her?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Joining us now is Ms. Daphne Levy Hernandez. She is author of a book called Picking Right, which is going to help you, the audience out there, detect who could be suitable mates for you, who could be good for you, and who could make you happy romantically. So, without further ado, here is Ms. Hernandez. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, welcome
Pleasure
to the show.
Pleasure being here.
So, you know, you're very interesting with the topics that you discuss in your book, which is picking right. So some of the things here are involving picking the right person. What are your three rules that you write about? Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. I'll do it as fast as I can. The first rule has to do with having goals that can survive side by side. For instance, you, Dr. Frieda, had twins at the age of 60. If you had a husband who didn't want kids, didn't want to start all over, that would be a problem. But your objectives and his aligned, they harmonized. That's very important. People don't think about it very often. They go with wishful thinking. Oh, hopefully we will work it out. And it blows up in their face.
That's so true. And people, if they knew that having this kind of connection could guarantee efforts in the future, that they can feel supported. Otherwise, they're very disappointed if one partner doesn't go along with the other. It can really break up the relationship. What is the biggest problem that you feel happens to couples in a relationship, or one of the biggest problems?
One of the biggest problems is that people go on autopilot in a relationship. In the beginning, they try to do nice things for each other, and they try to listen to each other, and they try to be considerate. And after a while, they figure, well, you know, we're together. That I love you goes without saying. That I care goes without saying. You're PMSing right now, or for the guy, you're stressed out about work. Oh, just get over it. Instead of regarding the relationship like a garden that they need to nurture, and that means every day of the week and every hour, every waking hour.
That's hard to do. It really is. I find that you're in different moods. You're in a bad mood. Somebody dumped on you at the office. You come home. You want to dump on the person you're with to get it out of the way. So it's not that easy to always be so considerate when your own needs aren't met, or something horrible happened that day to you, or you need somebody to really understand that you're coming from a bad place. And that sometimes is not actually doable. The person feels attacked when you're not able to be responsive. So that's something that happens to all of us, that we have these mood swings that we have to live with, because, you know, we can't always be so great in life. We're not always so supportive, and we're not always so aware or caring or even feeling cared about. Do you think, what happens when you're in that kind of mood? What's the best thing to do?
Make sure that you have eaten and that you've had enough sleep. Even though we're not babies, the same thing that's true for a baby is true for every adult. Have you eaten? Have you slept? You don't need to change diapers, but everything else is still the same. Because our outlook on life is completely different when we are tired. I don't recommend that couples have deep conversations late at night. And don't discuss anything with your significant other when they come home hungry. Make sure that you eat and you sleep first, and you're at your best.
That sounds good to me, I'll
difference.
Tell you. Yeah, because we all have to get in our basic needs before we can do anything else. It's something that seems so obvious, and we often don't do that at all. So you're saying that even if you have late night shifts and you go to sleep at different times, it's not necessarily about not going to sleep early, but it's about being patient with one another. Is that right? Sort of supporting each other's needs at that time.
Absolutely. Observe your partner. Do they look hungry? Do they look tired? Don't bring up anything deep right now. And yourself, if you are feeling stressed out, make sure you eat, you sleep, and go and take walks. Walks are very therapeutic. They get you out of an introverted state of thinking about your work or your problems. And if you take walks and look out at things while you're walking, it gets you out of your head, so to speak.
So
and
are you
then
saying
life
that
looks differently?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then life looks much, much better, not as serious.
So are you saying that if I'm not getting along with my husband, if I'm angry at him, I should just walk away?
If the conversation is not going to lead anywhere, and if you know that you are also tired, you're also hungry, you're also coming from a place of stress from work, then make sure you've eaten, you've slept, and that you got a little break and took a walk, so you're not mixing up your emotions about work or family or whatever else is going on with what's going on with him. And then speak to him when you are both in a better place.
You know, that's so interesting. You know, I was just talking to Ryan, who was telling me pets. You think pets help in the relationship to make things a little bit calmer?
I think it depends on the people. They both like should like their pets. If one of them is allergic to cats and the other one has cats, it wouldn't help. It all depends on how they use the pets to help them. If they both love the pets and the pets is something that they can agree upon, something that brings them together just like children may bring a couple together, then it's positive.
Mm-hmm. So anything is good if you both agree to a
yes.
limit, actually, depending, as long as it's nothing too dangerous. So we're looking at, you know, all your experiences here and all these couples that you guided. And listen, the audience that's listening to you right now and the message that you're giving them. So for a long-term relationship, what happens when people do change and you can't be consistently the same person? And
correct. And people do change in the course of a relationship. They grow, they go up, they go down. The idea is to stay tuned to where you're at and where your partner is at and to do your best to adjust for the purpose of both of you surviving better and being more successful and being happier.
So you have to readjust the relationship. So tell me something. What are the three biggest reasons why you feel couples do break up?
One of them, the first one is what I mentioned, is that they do not nurture the relationship like they perhaps did when they first met. The other one is secrets. People keep the darndest, silliest secrets from each other, and secrets build a wall between you. Now you have to have good memory, and you have to remember what you said, and you said the dress cost $150, but it really cost $185, and you know, it's just isn't good. Secrets limit communication, and a relationship is based on communication, on free and open communication.
So are you saying that if the wife is running up the steps hiding her dress and the husband is hiding something else that he's doing, that eventually keeping that from each other will lead to bigger things, keeping bigger things from each other, and will escalate into bigger problems?
Absolutely. And people get very defensive when they have secrets. They become very sensitive over nothing. And if they just opened up and said, you know, honey, I told you that I was at Peter's place, but I was really in the bar. And, you know, they're not going to be so touchy.
If they can trust that their partner will be supportive in what it is they do, what happens when someone is not supporting the dress that you bought, that you're enjoying wearing, and feels that it was nothing worth it and it's not so great? Why would you do that? Why would you set yourself up to be disappointed?
Because if you are not open and honest with your spouse or your significant other, you are actually sweeping things under the carpet. If he or she disagrees with with how much you spend on clothing, you need to tackle that. You need to actually tackle it head on and say, listen, you spend money on golf and I spend extra money on dresses. Let's just agree on it. You know, let's figure out what job I can do extra to pay for it. But otherwise, you're just shoving it under the carpet and go, okay, we never achieved agreement on this point. We are totally in disagreement about this. But still, now I have to lie about it. It's a sure way to make a relationship go downhill.
You know, it's true. But what about, you know, the extent of the most painful hurt there could be to some couples anyway, and that is partner who cheats on you. How do you address that? How do you help yourself heal with that? Or can you heal with that?
It's a tough one. People could save themselves so much pain if they just knocked it off. The grass is really not greener on the other side. And it's silly. It just isn't worth it.
So what if you already had this affair? I'm sorry, Ryan. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just saying that I want to just have a way in, because people, I guess, cheat for a number of different reasons. And some people, they wind up, connecting or running off with their person they're cheating with. And I guess what it really comes down to is this, is that does a relationship ever get healed when that occurs? Is there any way for that truly to have true?
The only way a relationship could heal in that circumstance is if they both sit there and, now this is brutal, but if they both sit there and really confess their mutual sins. Because usually, maybe not both of them cheated, but it's usually mutual. And if they sit there and they can really, really, really come clean with each other, that's the only way for a relationship to really recover.
Okay.
So you're saying that they should both confront what they have been doing and feel that the other will allow this to heal and work it through. That's a hard one. That really is a hard one.
It is a hard one, and that's why I wrote this book, to give young or new couples, rather, advice. And what I have to say to new couples is don't even start. Don't even start the lying and the cheating. Just stay away from it like the plague. Your life will be so much better, so much easier. I have a rule in my marriage. I've been married happily for 28 years. And my rule is that I never do anything I would not want to tell my husband about. If I would feel uncomfortable telling him about it, I don't do it.
Well, he's a lucky guy that you're so upfront. I wish everybody could be that way. But, you know, cheating often is a byproduct of other problems in the relationship. And it's a cry always for help if you feel you can't get what it is you need from this person. So it's difficult to be faithful and supportive of someone if you're doing all the things you're saying they should do and they still are not coming around and you're not in a position for a divorce for whatever reason that could be. Cheating often is the answer. Now, it's the wrong answer. I'm not saying it's a good answer. But people come to that point of feeling, you know what, I need someone in my life that's going to support me, that's going to tell me what I want to hear, that's going to feel I'm special. And it's not for sexual reasons. It's for your own sense of self that you're not getting at home. In other words, there's no choice. No matter what it is that you do, that person is void of the opportunity or the ability to give you what it is that you need. And divorce could be the answer, but often people use the cheating. Instead, it's less complicated. There are children involved. Financially, it's easier. And it does come to play that makes more sense. And that is something that we really need to look at. How a person interacts with someone else can really be the wrong person in your life. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, Frida, using cheating as an escape from a poor quality relationship is like using drugs or alcohol to escape from a life you don't like. If you don't like your life, you have to confront that and you have to fix your life. Drinking, drowning your sorrow by drinking never solves anything. And it's a similar thing. Yes, you're unhappy in your marriage. You better confront it. You better sit there and talk and discuss and yell at each other if you need to until you iron out all these details that make you unhappy. Because drowning your sorrow and your disagreements in another relationship becomes so complicated and just leads to more unhappiness.
So you're saying divorce is not the answer?
No, I didn't say that. What I say is that cheating because you are unhappy in your relationship is not the answer. You need to see what you can do to fix that relationship, not run away to another one.
And so if you can't fix it, would the next step be divorce or not?
Possibly. It would be a better solution than to not start another relationship in hiding and live a lie, because then you live a lie.
So you're saying that once you have this kind of momentum of hiding what it is that you're doing and hiding your feelings, you're going to take that with you into other relationships. So you may as well fix the one you have. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
It definitely does make sense. I mean, if we could just have the right gut feeling about who we're with and be able to address that without any of the issues, because as you said, you know, the beginning of the romance is when you're free of all this negativity that's keeps building up. So, you know, the difference between genuine feelings and romantic feelings about someone and the impulses they give you in the long run can bring back all the old feelings you had and then recreate what is being lost. So that is something that you're giving us material that we all need to hear. We all need to be able to bring back what we originally had and that spark that was there that we all miss. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do that?
It would be. And I've seen that happen. I've seen couples who have both sinned flagrantly, come back together and really come clean and confess their sins to each other and turn a leaf. It can be done. It takes a lot of courage. And in our current society, apparently, courage is not encouraged. People are
it's
afraid.
It's not encouraged.
It is not
encouraged. But, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work. It takes years often to go through the process of dealing with someone who's built up resentment towards you, contempt, disrespects you, and have to start with fixing it again can be offset good feelings for more years to come of anger and readjusting an attitude. So that work in itself is not so quick to heal. But you're saying it's still worth it.
It's still worth it. And, you know, most worthwhile things in life are hard to come by and they take hard work. It's easy to go downhill. It's harder to go up. It's easy to fail. It's hard to build something worthwhile.
I wish we could all remember that. That is so good. That is such solid advice that we should remember that when we're slipping, we better get up quickly because it's just going to get harder to get back up again. So tell us, what is your website so everyone could hear it? And your Daphna Levy Homandez, what a name. So
Yeah, I'm Daphna Levy. I'm born and raised in Israel, and then I married. My husband is Hispanic, so my married name is Hernandez. There you go.
Interesting. Very interesting combination here. mixture of many things. That's very nice. Where would you tell our listeners to look you up? Ryan, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just, I was going to ask this, something similar, but please go right ahead, Frida.
I was just wondering how people could get in touch with you, where they could learn more about you.
They can go to peakingright.com, and right now I'm offering a free download with an excerpt from my book, Peaking Right, and relationship tips. So they can just go to peakingright.com and get the free download and contact me through that.
It sounds wonderful. They definitely will not go wrong doing something like this. You could really make a difference to a lot of people. So thank you so much for being on our show. Very helpful. And hope to have you back on again sometime.
Thank you, Frida and Ryan. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much. Okay.
So, Ryan, are you all set to to listen to your wife and do all the right things?
No.
Great.
No, I'm not, which is why I'm ready to take the brunt of all the distress. But you know what? Sometimes you have to take a stand. Sometimes you don't want to do the laundry, and sometimes it's worth being yelled at not to do the laundry, especially when you're going to do it the wrong way.
That's a very interesting concept. I have to remember that. Maybe that's going to make sense in my life, too. I wouldn't mind. Can I quote you on that one?
You can quote me on that one. And my strategy for, I don't know, I would call it a strategy of success, is to find something you don't like to do in marriage, like the laundry or the dishes or anything. Screw it up so bad.
You're crazy.
So bad that she never trusts you to ever do it again. And yes,
I
you'll be yelled at the first time.
Her. My goodness.
But she'll never, ever ask you. She'll never ask you to do it again.
I think she's too smart for that.
It's a strategy.
I don't know.
It's been effective.
Has it
all
been working?
All you have to do is just, yeah, absolutely.
No wonder my husband doesn't
do all that stuff. I am not permitted to wash. I am not permitted to do the laundry.
So are you telling me my husband knows something I don't know, Ryan, that he's been doing this all along?
Yes.
I got to get back at him.
Find all this information on the mail internet. We share these secrets.
Oh, my goodness. I better look it up quickly.
Right. All right, Frida, well, we can learn more information about you by going to your website at Dr. Frida, D-O-C-T-O-R, Frida, F-R-I-E-D-A.com. And go to your website on a regular basis. They'll see more about you, learn more about your writings, and they'll see more about your upcoming interviews.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Ryan. I never know what you're going to say, but you taught me something. I'm going to go after my husband.
We'll see everyone back here next week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The Dr. Frida Show.
Take care. Bye-bye.